in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And of course, we're coming to you, as usual, on a Sunday after a weekend of fun. You'll be hearing this on Monday, but we're recording it on Sunday.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's the time that we have off. Luckily, I don't have to record my football game today. I actually get to watch it after we're done with the podcast, which is nice.
Yeah.
Last week was a night game for football, and it was a hell of a game, but they made a crucial mistake, the Niners did, in that they left, they scored the go-ahead touchdown with 37 seconds left on the clock, which wouldn't be which wouldn't be a problem typically, except there's a thing. If you're a football fan, you know this. There's certain quarterbacks currently in the NFL. There's certain quarterbacks, you know, formerly in the NFL as well, that you always had to worry how much time you left on the clock. And there's a famous, there's actually a famous thing in, again, football circles. There's a famous famous quote from a former player, now announcer. He actually does the Sunday night football games. I hate it whenever he's on a 49er game because he's got a lot of animosity towards the 49ers. And so he always calls the game kind of crappy towards them.
What? Really?
Yeah. He's got reason to. He played on the Cincinnati Bengals, and his one shot at a Super Bowl is one of the most famous Super Bowls of all time. It was the considered the greatest comeback of all time in a Super Bowl until Tom Brady did his thing against the Falcons. And, I mean, if you watch that game, I actually watched it with a Patriots fan. That game was, I mean, it was in the third quarter, and it was like 27-3. The Patriots were losing, and they came back to send the Super Bowl into overtime. First time ever the Super Bowl has gone into overtime, and the Patriots won. And this was like Brady's like fifth or sixth, Super Bowl victory. So like, dang, you know, this was just, you know, top of the mountain again for him. I think it was his fifth. And he just, I mean, it was an amazing performance of him coming back in basically a quarter and a half of football. He came back and won the game. And
dang,
to watch it was just a beautiful thing. It is the proof that Tom Brady is, as much as I hate to say it, Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time, period.
Wow.
Exclamation point. But in the Super Bowl in 1988, it was for the 87 season, but of course it took place in January of 88. The Niners were facing the Cincinnati Bengals the second time they played them in the Super Bowl. And the Bengals scored the go-ahead touchdown with about a minute 45 left. And Chris Collinsworth, who was a wide receiver for the Bengals at that point, and this, by the way, is a game where Jerry Rice had like over 200 yards and two touchdowns. He got the MVP of the Super Bowl because he was just amazing. He was just balling out all game long.
Oh.
Collinsworth went up to his coach. And there's a lot of drama involved in this game because the coach of the Bengals was a guy named Sam Weish. Sam Weish used to be the offensive coordinator, or had been the offensive coordinator of the 49ers under Bill Walsh, who was the head coach of the 49ers during that Super Bowl. So it was, you know, master versus apprentice. And and so it really was. And Chris Collinsworth famously went up to his coach and said, you know what? I think we left too much time on the clock. Also famously, and so this is a very famous quote, and he's mentioned it many times, and it's apropos. Because what ended up happening is the Niners ended up engineering a like 85-yard drive for a touchdown to basically a walk-off touchdown to win the game to John Taylor, who was the number two receiver on the team at the time, not Jerry Rice. You'd expect to be Rice to catch the winning touchdown. Nope, it was John Taylor. An amazing drive. I watched the game when it happened as a kid, and I've watched it since then multiple times. That drive is just completely brilliant in what's done. And that was a quarterback back in the day, Joe Montana. You didn't leave him with time on the clock, because if you did, he would figure out a way to win the game. Whatever it took, he would figure it out. Famously, by the way, to calm the offense down when they stepped on the field with that minute 45 or whatever left to try to drive all the way down the field, Montana in the huddle called the play, and then he goes, hey, look, that's John Candy over there. Because John Candy was on the sideline watching the end of the game. And he just pointed out John Candy like it was just some random thing at the start of the biggest drive of the year to win the freaking Super Bowl. It's like, oh, hey, there's John Candy over there. This is why Joe Montana was nicknamed Joe Cool, because that's who he was. He was cool under pressure.
Ah.
Well, in modern days, there are a few quarterbacks that you do not leave with time on the clock. And minute 45 is a lot of time in football time to be able to do stuff. That would be too much time.
Oh, yeah.
But for some quarterbacks, even 37 seconds is too much time. And the Niners scored that touchdown, and I looked at the clock, and I'm like, oh, God. And my wife is like, what's wrong? They left too much time. They left too much time. We're going to lose this game. Because they only went up by 1 point with this touchdown. Which meant that the opposing team, all they had to do was get in field goal range and kick a field goal.
Yep.
Now, if it was any other quarterback, with the exception of two quarterbacks playing right now, three quarterbacks playing right now. Mm-hmm. Any other quarterbacks, I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have worried about the 37 seconds. But it was one of those three. And those three now, currently, that you would not even give 37 seconds to... Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
who has won one Super Bowl and been to one other. And the one other he went to, because he won a Super Bowl against, sadly, the Niners. So I don't trust him for any time. He'll figure out a way to beat us. He lost the Super Bowl to one of the other two quarterbacks, and that would be the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. And again, Tom Brady, you don't leave him 37 seconds because he will figure out a way to beat you. That's why he is the greatest of all time. That's why he has, I believe, 7 Super Bowl victories.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the dude that, like, you just
hold on. Don't give him any time. Question. Okay. As a non-football fan, as somebody who is so freaking casual, it's not even funny. Is Tom Brady the Deflategate guy?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is the Deflategate guy, but it really doesn't matter because even without that moment, he still has 7 Super Bowl rings. I mean, that's the thing about him. He still is the winningest quarterback of all time. He's thrown more touchdowns than any quarterback. As of today, he will have thrown for more yards than any quarterback in history. He basically owns the majority of the quarterback records. So, I mean, you can't. We're talking one game with the slightly deflated footballs. Yes, he got a couple game suspension for it. It was a terrible thing to do. I'm not forgiving it because he was a dick. But at the same time, he does have a history of career that spans more than just what happened in one game.
I'm not trying to discredit anybody personally, but all you got to do is cheat fucking once, man.
I know, but at the same time, I know. Anyway, point being, when the next best guy only has four Super Bowl wins, you know what? And with two, and Brady did it with two different teams. So
right,
he got his
right.
last Super Bowl with a whole other team. So it wasn't just him and the coach.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
Tom Brady, you don't give 37 seconds to. There's one other quarterback that you don't give 37 seconds to. He doesn't play in California, but he's from California. He's from Northern California specifically. He went to college here. He went to junior college first, which, by the way, whenever they do in games, especially like the primetime games, they'll introduce like the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football, and you'll see the player's head for a second, and they'll say what college they're from.
Yeah,
he always lists the junior college that he came from, which is located in or near Chico, California, because he is from Chico, California, which is, you know, right fairly close to us. And he went to college at Cal, and he was a lifelong 49er fan that wanted to be drafted by the 49ers and was not. He was not the first pick of the draft for the 49ers. Another quarterback, Alex Smith, was drafted. Instead, this guy dropped to the mid-20s and was picked up by another team to sit behind a legend for 3 years before he was finally given the reins. And since then, he has one quarterback stat that Tom Brady doesn't have, which is passer rating. He has the highest passer rating ever by any quarterback, period. Nobody's even close to his passer rating. And this would be Aaron Rodgers. Because the Niners were playing.
Okay, yeah, heard that name.
The Niners were playing the Green Bay Packers last week, and here's the thing: you don't give Aaron Rodgers 37 seconds. So I was looking at that clock and saying, I was excited because we scored a touchdown, but I was mad because they scored a touchdown on that play. Dude should have gone down on the 2 yard line, and they should have ate some more clock and run another play. Now, admittedly, you can't be assured you'll score a touchdown the next time, so you got to take the points when you take the points. But you left Aaron Rodgers 37 seconds. And what did Aaron Rodgers do? He got his team in field goal range. They kicked the field goal. Packers win the game by 2 points.
Shit.
It was a loss. It was a loss, but it was at least, you know, not bad to have. But anyway, I spent 10 minutes talking about a football game that has nothing to do with this podcast. That's funny as hell.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on, because I know you told me what the subject matter was for the podcast, and we still have not reached it yet.
We haven't gotten to. Well, it's funny because this is what happens. I've talked before about the fact that I talk to my father way more during football season than I do in the other parts of the year. And it's not because we don't have a good relationship, because we have a very good relationship. It's just football is his thing. It's the only sport he cares about.
Yeah, you guys got that. That's the thing in common between the two of you. The big thing, you know, at this time.
It's the only sport he cares about. It's the only sport that I care about. At some point, we've thought about from August, and him and I have talked about it. We thought about from August to February, half adopting our announcer guy, Scott, into the family, because he's such a big football fan, too.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to sit and watch a game with my dad and announcer Scott, because that would just be, it's three guys who love the Niners, who love their football. I know you've watched a game with me and Scott, and it can be scary. You've watched a couple of them. It can be scary intense with the two of us.
You guys are in it. You guys are fucking in it. And you know, there's something to say about the experience of that. I will say that it's a commendable one. I like that.
It's a beautiful thing, but this is what this leads to, though, is football is definitely kind of the fall and winter thing. This is what a lot of America works up to in their fall and winter, and the Super Bowl has almost become a national holiday in many ways. As is the Monday after Super Bowl, which is calling to work, you know, because you're hungover day. or you had way too much chips and dip day. You know what I mean? That was me last year. Way too much chips and dip. Way too much. It was worth it, though. To watch the Kansas City Chiefs get beat, it was so worth it. I was so happy. I needed it. Assholes. Anyway, but this is you know, this is part of the trend of you know, we have these, I wouldn't say trend, but trend's the wrong word, but we have these times a year where certain things, you know, are tradition. And we've talked before about the different foods that become tradition. I mean, the different things in the store. Last couple podcasts, we talked about the influx of the Halloween decorations and how big it is. And it is, it's huge. I was a note for everybody listening. I actually was at Mike's house yesterday for the first time in a long time.
Yep.
I stopped by. We actually had face-to-face contact.
I know. It was crazy.
And
we did not kiss to anyone who wants to ask that.
We could have.
Oh, we could have.
But we
I don't
didn't.
Think it'd be a good idea.
Why'd you come up with that?
Well, you said face-to-face contact, so.
That's just like, but like my face and your face looking at each other, but whatever. Okay. Freud would have a lot to say about that one, right? But I did get a chance to see the Halloween decorations that we had talked about that Mike's been working on in his front yard, and they're looking fantastic so far. They're amazing. I know there's a little more that you might be adding to it, but it looks great right now. It's really cool. So it was nice to see that. And that's you know, again, the seasonal thing. We get the seasonal, there's a seasonal aisle in Walmart regularly that they just cycle the crap through. Like now it's filled with candy. After Halloween, it'll be filled with different candy. Basically the same candy, just rebranded slightly differently.
Are you kidding me? Now both of them are in the same aisle.
I haven't seen the too much of the Christmas stuff
bullshit
in there yet. But the biggest,
if you walk into Home Depot, one of the things about Home Depot is they go all out with their Halloween decorations, right? When it comes down to Halloween, you got some major stuff at Home Depot. Lowe's is an entirely different story. Their main floor is full of fucking Christmas trees, and then the Halloween stuff is kind of like shoved up against the wall on one side, in the late September, by the way, which is BS.
Now, decorations. Yes, I will admit there's already Christmas decoration aisles popping up in Walmart. But I'm talking just the candy at this point. I do love the fact that there are reshaped. I almost want to nominate Reese's Peanut Butter Cups as the official candy of the whole year, because there are different shapes of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for every freaking holiday.
Yes.
And Reese's has got, the Peanut Butter Cups have got their game on. We're going to be the go-to thing for every holiday. You got Halloween, we're going to be pumpkins and ghosts and shit. You got Christmas, we're a tree, bitch.
You got Easter, eggs.
We're a bunny and eggs.
Yep.
Yes, we can do it all.
Yep.
Why?
100%.
And also, we're tasty. We're the perfect combination of chocolate and peanut butter.
Question.
We're so good, we make our own peanut butter for you to put on, like, bread for sandwiches and shit.
Yeah. It's damn good peanut butter.
It is.
I have a question. Reese's isn't owned by Hershey's, are they?
I do not know.
I don't know who actually... I'm not sure if they're Hershey's. Hershey's isn't Mars, is it? I have to research that and get back to you.
Hershey's is its own thing. I know that.
Okay, but, so the Hershey Company is their own deal, and so M&M Mars is the second one. The question you've always got like two or three major companies that are owning like all the other major stuff that's been, you know, brand fed into your face for.
It's funny you're saying that, because the next podcast that we're gonna do is actually talking about that.
Oh, that's great. Funny. That's great.
That's funny.
You guys will hear next week.
We'll revisit some of that in the next podcast next week. But anyway, point is you have these different seasons for all these different things, right?
Yeah.
Well, with that, you have stuff in stores, the decorations, the different foods that are available for different seasons. Kind of lead into the podcast for next week. August for a couple of years recently was big for me because of a food item that would be released in August, an old food item from the 90s that they revamped and put out again. Like I said, we'll talk about that next podcast. So if you want to know what it is, you gotta listen next week.
Okay.
See, I'm putting the hooks in to draw them in. You know,
marketing genius.
Of course I am. I was a marketing genius last night. I'll get to that in a minute.
Are we going to get to the podcast subject at all?
We are. And here's what it's about. Again, we have these seasonal things. One of them is you know, food. One of them is our sports that are various seasons. You have baseball in summer. Football is in fall and winter. I don't know when basketball is, because really, does anybody care? But... That was supposed to elicit a laugh. Come on now.
There was a laugh. Oh, you must not have heard it because we're talking to each other over Discord, so sometimes stuff gets missed.
I missed the laugh.
Yeah, anyway, no, I giggled a little bit. I snickered.
Oh, a little. Was it a giggle or a snicker?
A bit more like a snicker.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you and your love of the Giants. Anyway, now I got that laugh. Yeah. But one of the other things is obviously your TV programming in the fall.
Yes.
The shows start up again. Mm-hmm. And each season has their various shows, and more importantly, movies that are associated with the seasons, specific movies. And there's those people that the day after Halloween, they start their Christmas movies. Again, as I have stated before, there is one Christmas movie to watch the day after Halloween, and that is The Nightmare Before Christmas. You can start watching that either Halloween night after you've done trick-or-treating, or the day after Halloween all the way up until Christmas. Not before. That one starts then. But all your other Christmas movies, wait till the day after Thanksgiving, please. There are some Thanksgiving movies out there if you want to watch like the Hallmark Channel or Lifetime or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty much like that's the deal with basically, I don't know, I don't want to get too far into it, because I could start naming franchises, but I don't necessarily want to yet, because you've got a certain thing in mind.
I have something specific I'm going to talk about. And again, when you get into the Christmas movies, there's all the different Christmas movies that everybody needs to watch. Some of them they have family traditions of, we have to watch these Christmas movies. Some of them people don't identify as Christmas movies. I'm looking at you, people that don't like Die Hard as a Christmas movie. It is a Christmas movie. It also could be classified as another movie, which we've talked about before, but I'm going to get into in just a minute.
Okay.
I
believe we came to consensus that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, as is Batman Returns.
As is Batman Returns.
Yes.
And as is Iron Man 3, which is
which
would be a weird one, except when you find out that Shane Black directed Iron Man 3 and also helped to write the Lethal Weapon movies, which take place in Christmas time. So, or at least one of them does. And he was involved, I think, somewhat in Die Hard 2. So that's Die Hard.
Wait a minute. Die Hard, okay.
I'm saying Die Hard T-O-O, not T-W-O.
As well, also?
Yeah, as well.
Also. Okay, wait a minute. I have something completely off kilter, and I think it's worth a conversation. Maybe something, like, I'm throwing it into the hat for a potential podcast concept later, okay?
What?
We'll see if we get feedback from people, see if they want us to do this. Okay, so technically being that Iron Man 3 is, in all technicality, a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Does that mean that AC/DC has written a Christmas soundtrack?
Interesting.
Right? Because if that's the case, that means AC/DC wrote a dedicated Christmas soundtrack, because they wrote a soundtrack to a Christmas movie.
That is worth debate. That's worth debate. Actually, that's worth debate. That's worth debate. We'll work on that for another podcast. Tell you what, this is what the plan will be. You will, since you're the one who posited the idea,
yeah.
I want to hear your pro arguments. I'm going to go with the against arguments, basically, because I don't like AC/DC. So that's just, that's the appropriate stance.
Well, I would like to, we should consider the possibilities. Like, this is, if you can consider certain movies to be tertiary Christmas movies, then I believe you can consider certain soundtracks to be tertiary soundtracks, but they need to fit a specific, they have to be shoehorned in somehow. But this is the idea of, like, I feel like that's worth a podcast. That's worth, like,
okay,
unintentional, I wouldn't say like holiday, but unintentional soundtracks or albums, like themes, unintentional themes to albums. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. All right.
So anyway.
Yes.
Again, we talk a lot about movies on here and how movies are to us. And when we come to this time of year, this lead up into Halloween, there is typically specific movies that people are gravitated towards when it comes to their viewing pleasure. And this is, for better or worse, this is horror movie season. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
The lead 100%. Up into Halloween, this is horror movie season.
Yes.
With a couple of comedic things tossed in there. Of course, there's your diehard lovers of, and not diehard, I hate using that. I use the phrase, but it's not the movie. The huge lovers of the Hocus Pocus movie. And you find Hocus Pocus stuff everywhere nowadays, especially since they're doing a sequel to it, which admittedly I'm interested in watching the sequel. I did find the original movie to be fun. And the only time I ever found Sarah Jessica Parker even somewhat attractive was in that movie. She's kind of hot in that movie.
She is. That is
as kind of the dumb slutty sister.
Full consensus.
She's kind of hot there.
Yeah.
But that's, that's, Hocus Pocus is a huge one for most people.
That's for me, the zombie guy. That's Doug Jones, right?
That is Doug Jones.
Yes.
That is Doug Jones in makeup, doing what Doug Jones does, which is put on a bunch of makeup and be super physical with his acting.
Fantastic.
Because that's exactly what he does. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
For me, there's two movies that are necessities around Halloween. Typically after trick or treating, I like to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's just a more of a personal thing with me and my wife. We love watching that movie at Christmas or at Halloween time, not Christmas time. Sorry.
No, that totally
Christmas time
fits.
is Christmas Time is the Grinch, but we should know that. The original, yes. By the way. Not no Jim Carrey BS.
hey, I happen to like the Jim Carrey one, but there you cannot ever discount the original 45-minute Tony the Tiger song, The Grinch. You can't do it.
Yes.
That shit is a masterpiece of animated cinema.
There's only one thing I like about the Jim Carrey Grinch, and that's it helped. It was one of the jump starts for the career of one of my favorite celebrities, and I'll leave it at that.
Whoa.
Mike knows who I'm talking about. Mike knows who I'm talking about, but I'll just leave it at that.
I don't think we're going to
get into that at all.
That is stepping into some territory. That's weird.
But yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show, a must for us on Halloween. And then there's another one that you have to watch the night before Halloween. And we try to watch it every year the night before Halloween. It's, in my opinion, one of the best movies ever made. Not necessarily, that's just my opinion. Technically, it's a decent movie. It's the best movie that specific director ever made. But and that would be The Crow. And it is necessary to watch The Crow on the 30th of October. You have to watch it on that day.
Okay.
That's the appropriate day for it.
Is that the...
That's Devil's Night.
Ah, okay. Okay, so as far as... Now, I missed out on a lot of this. I'm going to have to do quite a bit of catch-up. Holiday-themed movies in general, or I kind of... I don't know what it was about my upbringing or anything that I had... dealt with, but I missed out on a lot of, it was weird because I hung out with theater kids, but I wasn't like in theater, and I hung out with goth kids, but I wasn't necessarily goth. Like,
so you weren't a fan of The Crow when it came out, is what you're
saying? I wasn't a fan. Everything that my peers were huge fans of, like, I was so, I don't know why I was so averted to, but I missed out on a lot of movies, or I would see movies that I would just not really get why they're so fascinatingly great. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
With The Crow, I didn't get The Crow. I didn't get Romeo and Juliet. I was like, well, I've seen this. This is just with Guns and Leo DiCaprio. Like, what the fuck's the difference?
Oh.
But I, going back into it and watching it later, I did revisit that version of Romeo and Juliet later, and it is actually extremely well put together. It's brilliantly acted. That was something that I just missed out on because I wasn't able to, you know, take in all the details when I was like fucking 16 when it came out. But
I actually have a theory on that. It's a psychological thing, but we'll talk about that outside of the podcast because it may delve into some personal things.
Interesting.
But at least now you're a lover of The Crow, right?
I have sat and watched the entire film for decades. I haven't watched it for probably 20 years.
This is one of these moments that I wish we had video.
I think the last time I watched The Crow. I think the last time I watched The Crow with you.
Was with me.
Was with me and my wife. I think we were living in the apartment. Like, so long ago.
It was with me and my wife.
Yes.
That you watched it last
time. I think it was the last time I watched it.
For her, that movie is almost like a religion in and of itself.
Yeah.
She loves that movie so much.
I remember that. And I got it. Like, I understood. But it just, and there's a lot of good, there's a lot of great shots in it. There's a lot of great acting in it. Like, it makes
the actors in it are freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 100%. You know, you got some gravitas to a movie when the bad guy's henchman, okay, is played by Tony Todd. Tony Todd is the henchman of the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's not the bad guy. And this is in the early 90s that this movie is made. So Tony Todd is at the height of his, that's a scary ass dude.
Yeah.
His voice is even scary.
Yeah.
He is the henchman.
The guy is a goon, basically. They cast Candyman as a goon in this movie.
He is.
Yeah.
The warriors come out and play. That guy, he's a henchman of the bad guy.
Whoa. Oh, my God. You're right.
He's the henchman of the bad
guy.
Good
God. That movie is like 10. That movie is at least 10 years removed from Warriors.
Yeah.
When did Warriors come out? Like 1981 or some shit?
Something like that. Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
The bad guy had previously, his biggest previous role to that was as Alan Rickman's henchman.
Yes.
In Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which is basically Alan Rickman's coming out party. Look, I'm Alan Rickman. Yes, we know. We know. Again, also in a Christmas movie, Die Hard. Also, the connection to what we're really supposed to be talking about today. Isn't that funny?
Well done.
Isn't it good how I do
well
this?
Well done.
And that actor, by the way, the bad guy in The Crow is Michael Wincott, and he is amazing. His voice is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He is so scary, and yet at the same time, so freaking cool. It's amazing. The Crow is a necessity, and you want to talk about great movie soundtracks? One of the best movie soundtracks of all time in The Crow. Almost every song on there is amazing. There's even a good Violent Femmes song on there. I mean, seriously, a good Violent Femmes song. Yes? Yes, there is a Pantera song. It is a cover, but it's actually one of the better Pantera songs, especially because it's a cover and it doesn't suffer from their awful writing. Yes, I said that and I stand by it.
Dude, hey, look, man, I understand. I grew up listening to Pantera, liking Pantera, but also absolutely hating Dimes' guitar tone. Hating it. It sounds like if you were to combine a fucking table saw and nails on a chalkboard, like it's just like white. It sounds like white noise to me. And
it's basically if you have for people who are
dude, hot take on Dimes' guitar tone. The only reason why is because the guy swore by Solid State, and I can kind of understand that. But his tone sounded better when he went to Crank Amps. His tone sounded way better when he went to Crank Amps, and that wasn't until the very last album Pantera ever came out with. Like, fight me. Fight me, God damn it.
You hear it from the gearhead himself.
Yep.
So, we're actually going to take a break right now. We're going to take a break. With all this lead up, I'm going to let you guys know for the break.
Half hour lead up, I love it.
It's a half hour lead up. What we're going to talk about is what is the new craze. And I'm talking craze in the sense that it is on multiple networks. It's rolled out to be on all of the streaming services. There is a new Halloween powerhouse movie set. And it's not one of the horror ones, because those all come out too. But those have been out for years for people watching. All the different horrors, the Freddy's, the Jason's, the other ones that I don't remember, because I don't watch horror movies because they're awful. They're just stupid movies with stupid premises. Instead, there is another set that you can watch as a whole family. Unless you're like way super religious and think it's evil, which there are people that are still feeling that way. Whatever, there's a new Halloween powerhouse that is taking over the Halloween season as the thing to watch.
Okay,
and we'll talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Okay. So, yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know either. You're the one who's supposed to have the idea here.
I don't believe that's the case at all. You expect me to be in control of the situation?
Well, not for this one. No, not for this one. Because I remember your response when I told you, hey, we should do a podcast about this, because I've been noticing that this specific movie series, if people haven't figured it out yet already, they will. This specific movie series is dominating everything during the Halloween season, and everybody's going after watching it, which is funny for me. Because we watch this movie series in our household, I'm going to say once every 2 months, sometimes once a month, and I'm talking the entire film series.
Wow.
The entire film series. All 8 films of this we watch at least every 2 months. Again, sometimes as often as once a month, sometimes even more often than that. My wife does like rewatching things that are comfortable and familiar for her. So, you, however...
Yes.
If I'm correct, have not really watched any of these movies.
Not very much, and no.
We've discussed it before, and you've also not read the books. And of course,
I haven't read a book in a very, I haven't read a book since I was assigned a book in high school. I have not voluntarily read a book since that time. And to be fair, just to, before I get ripped on for it, it has to do with the fact that I have not been able to mentally look at a page full of words and actually organize them. There's something visually or something mentally that happens when I'm looking at a page full of words. I cannot organize them in my head. They start to look, I have one personal comparison that I can make that I'm not entirely sure that you're familiar with. If you're familiar with Batman the Animated Series, there was an episode where Bruce discovers that he is asleep while he is experiencing random shit that doesn't make sense. But the giveaway, the clue for it, was that when he read a newspaper, like before the third act, like it's the end of the second act, when he read a newspaper before the third act, the words on the page were jumbled and completely like out of order. They just looked like a collection of letters.
That's really interesting because that actually follows with real dreams. In a dream, you can't read things.
Yes. He logically determined that he must be dreaming and realized because of that, he was in control of his environment and was able to defeat the situation that he was in. And it was because he was actually physically hooked up to something that was projecting images to him mentally in a dream state, and he had been captured and was unaware of it. So,
Riddler, Joker, or Mad Hatter?
I think it was...
Or Scarecrow.
I can't remember if it was Scarecrow or... I thought it was Hugo Strange, actually.
Hugo Strange, that's...
I know, deep cut, right?
Brought some deep cuts out.
Yeah.
Because Hugo Strange hasn't been involved. I mean, he's been in... I believe he appeared in some of the Arkham games. At least one of the Arkham games, Hugo Strange.
He's in one of the Arkham games. He's actually one of my favorite villains in the Gotham series. He was so good in Gotham.
Yes, he was. Hugo Strange brought up, that's a deep cut to old school Batman. That's a villain that's one of those that, like, if you were to ask somebody, if you were wanting to test somebody's knowledge of Batman, you know, do the whole trivia thing.
Yeah.
Not really famous because not a whole lot of people saw that movie, but a scene in the Fanboys movie, where they encounter a fictional version of I don't know what you would call him. He had a website back in the day, Harry Knowles, where he leaked a bunch of insider stuff about movies.
Oh.
There's a fictional version of him played by Ethan Suplee.
That's what based his character on?
It's actually the character of Harry. He's playing Harry Knowles.
Oh, he's playing actual Harry Knowles?
He's actually playing Harry Knowles.
Oh, that's funny.
And he asks to these guys are trying to get information about how to break into Skywalker Ranch, and he asks them Star Wars related trivia questions.
Yes. I remember that.
See if they're on the level with things.
Yeah.
The most famous of the questions being what's Chewbacca's home planet?
Oh.
Do you know Chewbacca's home planet?
Kashyyyk, right?
Yeah. At that time, before episode one, that would have been, you would have really had to have some knowledge.
Yeah.
You'd have had to have read some of the books and stuff to really know that, because it's never talked about in any of the movies.
The only reason why I know the answer to that question is because of that fucking movie.
Exactly. I know the answer to that question because, like, I'm me.
Because you are James.
Yes, I am that person. But
yes,
that's one of those that is definitely one of those like deep trivia questions to ask, see if somebody really knows Batman or if they're just somebody who's glommed onto the Batman love and lore. It's like Metallica fans. Who is Metallica's first sure. bassist? If you ask who's the first bassist and they tell you Cliff Burton, you just say
You're incorrect. Away. Yep, you're absolutely incorrect. It is not Cliff Burton. Should we give away the answer to those? By the way, because he's still alive too, and he says, "Yeah, he's got like social media and stuff. He's cool.
We can give it away. Ron McGovney.
Yep,
Ron McGovney was the first bassist. He was. He wasn't. He, was he Lars's roommate or James's roommate?
I don't remember. I don't remember that information. Yeah.
He was roommates with one of them, and he was their initial bassist, and walked away. And you know, yeah, I'm sure he has some regrets about the money, but you know, he felt like he was doing the right thing walking away, and doesn't really feel like he lost out too big on much of anything.
No, they pulled him, and they got him for the 30th anniversary thing too, which is really cool.
They've kept contact with him and whatnot. But again, those are the deep cut questions. So. Back to the point here.
Okay, so going back to what I was talking about, we'll transition back to it because I remember where I was. So essentially what happens when I read, especially books, especially with large paragraphs, I'll get caught because it'll become a jumble of words, and then I have to stop, I have to look away, I have to refocus, and it becomes such an effort for me to read a book. Not for lack of wanting to.
I will add on to this. Mike is an exceedingly busy person. He has many, many irons in the regular basis. And so that's why we have the situation we have, where we meet once every 2 weeks for 3 to 4 hours, depending on how long we can get these things done in, depending on how much James talks, basically. and then he's got it, because he's got to take this after we've talked it. He's got to go through, make sure that there isn't too many coughs or weird noises, or James isn't eating something or stuff like that, and make sure it sounds all right. Then he's got to format it a certain way. Then he's got to set it up to go out on the multiple things that it goes out on, which I know there's a few things that he uses, makes that a little bit easier. But on top of doing that, he's got multiple episodes of Chronosode Games, which is his and his wife's gaming website and channel that they do. You should follow them on YouTube, like, subscribe, click the bell.
Thank you for the mid plug, sir. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And he's got multiple games that they're doing on that they have to record, sync up the audio to the video, especially when his machines aren't working properly.
Oh my God. Yes, I finally figured that out. It's been bothering me for a week.
Make sure those are polished and sent out properly, and then deal with it when some troll decides to say that the episode where they're playing a Legend of Zelda game, and apparently
we're releasing this into the ether. Okay. Yeah, we got the algorithm, I think, or it was either a troll or it was the algorithm. I'll just go over this real fast.
I'm just saying this. Ex vice president shouldn't be dancing. I'm just saying that. Okay. If you don't mind, if I sum it up quick, because
we got to get back to it.
Basically, a video got flagged for no reason whatsoever. He sent a message. Why does this get flagged? It immediately got put back on.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those, you know, I'm saying these are the things that Mike has to deal with. So I can understand that taking the time to actually sit down and read a book, especially when sometimes the words can become a jumble and you have to take a little time with it, that can be a lot to ask of you. And I understand that. But anyway, back to the original point. What I'm referring to is, of course, at least my favorite fictional Zennial, and that's
right,
Harry Potter.
He is a Zennial. I forgot.
He was born in 1980.
Oh, that's
July 31st of 1980 in the fictional world that he's in. So yes, we're talking about the Harry Potter and the Harry Potter movie series, which interestingly, there's your Alan Rickman connection. And let me add, we've talked about it before, but there are people that theorize that Die Hard is merely just not just a Christmas movie, but it is also a Harry Potter movie.
Okay, and that's that needs to be explained to me. I don't understand that,
needs to be explained to you. Basically, Bruce Willis is running around a tower trying to stay away from Alan Rickman. Isn't that what the Harry Potter movies are? Is somebody running around a tower trying to stay away from Alan Rickman?
Wait, does that mean... Well, no, Robin Hood is a lot more than just a tower, so...
Yes, there's more than a tower, but you know, I mean, you get it.
Absolutely.
You see the connection there? That's the argument towards it. By the way, I just want to say, Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard. I can't even think of his name right now, which is awful. I feel like I'm
John McClane.
McClane. There you go, McClane. Totally a Gryffindor. And
I don't even know what that means, man.
Exactly. For those of you who don't understand it, go read the books or watch the movies or be like Mike and be, and after the podcast, go to your friend who's a huge Harry Potter fan. Like, okay, explain Gryffindor to me.
Dude. Yeah, the only thing that gets me that I remember that I know of full on from this series are literally just two things: Quidditch. What? And Muggle, and that's it. I know those two terminologies and what they mean, and that is all.
I will say they're the Gryffindor thing is actually a very they use that as a clever pun later on. The Hogwarts, the school for witchcraft and wizardry, was created by four ancient wizards and witches. Mm-hmm. And they with the last names of Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. And those are like houses that the people are sorted into, kind of like teams, with their own special color scheme and whatnot.
Are the four houses named after the four wizards?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Gryffindor,
yeah.
Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin.
Cool.
And each of those wizards that built the castle built specific things onto it. Like Slytherin built the Chamber of Secrets. It's kind of understood that that Godric Gryffindor. Which yes, I do know all of their names because I'm
again, of course
as much a, yeah, no, which yeah. I'm a Star Wars geek, I'm a Harry Potter geek, I'm a Lord of the Rings geek. I'm yep. just
you're just I, I'm these dude, things. You're just a geek, man. You're just a yes, geek in general. I would consider you to be a geek, and I'm the nerd of the two of us.
Yes, a geek with Crocs. moving on. I gotta throw that in there. Maybe we'll get some of that. We'll get some of that spam money and that Croc money. Come on, spam. Come on, Crocs. Anyway, it was understood that Godric Gryffindor was likely the first headmaster of the school, because the headmaster's office, it's a really cool office up in a tower. The way that you get in there is through a statue. You have to say the password to the statue. The statue rises up in kind of the outcropping that it's in, and as it's rising up, a stairway goes up to be able to climb into the headmaster's office. And the statue is a griffin. So in all technicality, when you go to that griffin and you give the password, you're walking through a griffin door.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. It's one of the various mini puns throughout the books.
Oh my God.
I could talk for length and length on the books, on the movies, on the fact that, that the movies sidelined my favorite character from the book, my all-time favorite character from the books, which is my favorite.
We've had this conversation like three times now, not on the podcast, off the podcast, but it's still great.
My favorite character from the books is the house elf Dobby. He has I'm big on story arcs. I love to see story arcs with people in things. That's why I have my argument with you about the not argument, but discussion with you about the Avengers movies and how important they are to watch all of the MCU stuff, because the character arc for Tony Stark and the character arc for Steve Rogers, these are they have massive character arcs where they undergo so many changes, so many shifts in view from the things that happen to them, and it's beautiful to actually see that they created a full story for each of these characters' growth, changes, mm-hmm. and changes based on everything that happened to them, and how you see them become completely different people and do things in a completely different way. And especially from who they are at the very beginning, Tony being the rule breaker and just a wild card, and Steve Rogers being follow all the rules and do everything the right way, and how their journey shapes and changes them. I'm big into the story arc like that. Dobby has an amazing one throughout all of the books, because he's present after the second book. He's present in every single book, interacting with Harry, interacting with Hermione, interacting with everybody. I mean, there's a point in time where Hermione in the books creates a organization called the Society for the Protection of Elvish Welfare.
Wow.
Trying to protect house elves. She calls it SPEW for short. Because it's everything in Harry Potter has Oops. To have some kind of a weird Halloween-y type connection to things, you know. So if it's an acronym of some type,
was there a Halloweeny connection with that group, The Exorcist?
What do you mean? With the whole spew thing?
Yes.
No, it's just things that are kind of weird and teetering on gross, like the test that they take in the Harry Potter universe at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. their exams that they have to do, they're like certification exams, if you will, you know, like the stupid like SATs for us, or the end of year crap that we used to have to do with all the Scantrons. All that BS. They have two sets of exams. They have their ordinary wizarding level exams, or OWLs. And I don't remember what the other one, what all the letters in the acronym are, but it's NEWTS. It's NEWT.
Cute.
Is the other one. So it's all again, witchy, wizardy type stuff, Halloweeny type stuff, that kind of thing, which is why these movies fit in. Hermione creates this group to try to free basically house elves, because she sees them as being enslaved, but it's kind of who they are and what they do. It's really weird. The whole slavery thing on that is a difficult,
difficult
thing.
Yeah.
But what ends up, and we've talked about it before, what ends up happening, she keeps putting out, she keeps making clothes and leaving them in the Gryffindor common room, because if the house elves pick up clothes, then they're free. And the house elves stop cleaning the Gryffindor common room because they actually like working at Hogwarts Castle, because it's awesome, because they're not really treated like slaves there, like they are in other places. It's a weird little thing. Joe's got her weird thing, but like Dobby's involved in that story, in that he starts cleaning Gryffindor common room by himself because he's already a free elf. But he's friends with Harry Potter, that the growth of the friendship, Harry's friends with him, treats him as an equal. And of course he dies in the last book.
There's a lot of
cried when he died in the book. I mean, it was sad. It was awful. And he dies in the movie too, but again, they give him short shrift. He's my favorite character though. I love Dobby. But anyway, back to the point here, which is that the Harry Potter movies, because they are connected into that witches and wizards thing, and because that's a group that we really just assign for the Halloween season. We talked before about that's when my wife and I find all of the decorations for our home, because that's how we decorate our home, with that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, Ouija board stuff everywhere. I got a pair of Ouija socks yesterday when I was out shopping. I got little socks with a Ouija board on it. They're awesome. They're so cool. I just have to be careful if I'm scratching my feet, I don't conjure up a demon. But whatever. I know how to get rid of it. But the Harry Potter movies really fit within that. And it's funny because they also kind of fit as Christmas movies, because there's a Christmas scene in every one. So that gives you the capability of, from basically September to December, this is Harry Potter season now.
Good God.
And Harry Potter has taken over. It is on at least three different networks that are playing the movies through, and playing not just one movie at a time. They will play the entire series in order. It is on multiple streaming services that you can find it. And they're, you know, stream all of them that you want, special edition versions. They have extras on the streaming services that you can watch for them. Harry Potter has slowly... Well, it's something that captured a generation. Admittedly, it was a,
For sure.
We were into our late teens, early adult years when it first started coming out. So it didn't capture us in the same way, but the actual millennials that read it, this is a part of their life. They talk about the, you know, which house are you sorted into? Are you a Gryffindor? Are you a Hufflepuff? Are you a Ravenclaw? Are you a Slytherin? Which one are you? That's almost like...
Dude, yeah, I'm so disconnected from that. And it's not that I didn't... It's not that I wasn't, you know, down for it. Like, it was a cool series. It seemed cool. I don't know. As I continued to get more and more disconnected from it, and more of the movies came out, and I actually went out and I saw one of them in the theater, and it was like the third or fourth one in the series, and it was great. I loved it, but I just couldn't attach myself to the entire series.
Real quick. Was it the third or the fourth one?
I can't remember.
There's a difference.
I can't.
Were there dragons in it? Were there dragons, or was there a hippogriff?
I would say dragons.
That was the fourth one.
Okay. Yeah.
The fourth one is okay.
I don't even know the name of the creature that you just labeled off. I know that the kids were a little older though. Like I remember it was quite a few years into the series and they were still doing it. So.
Well, the other thing would be was there a werewolf in the movie or dragons?
Wait a minute. Werewolf. Yes.
Werewolf in it at the end?
Yes.
At the end, a teacher turns into a werewolf.
Yes. That was the big one.
And then black floaty things that would suck out your soul.
I don't remember seeing those.
Okay, but you do remember a werewolf.
I remember the werewolf.
Okay, that's actually number three, Prisoner of Azkaban, which I will argue with anybody is best of the Harry Potter movies, hands down.
Oh, wow.
And that's because of the, I think we've discussed it on here before, that's because of the guy who directed that movie. Same guy who directed the movie Children of Men, which is a fantastic film. If you've not watched the movie Children of Men, anybody listening, go watch the movie Children of Men. It is a brilliant piece of filmmaking. I could teach a week-long film class just on that movie itself.
Who directed it?
It's such a good movie. Oh, God, I can't remember his name right now.
It wasn't Branagh, was it? Because didn't Branagh do one?
No.
Or did he just act in one?
Branagh was in one. He did not direct one.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second. I'm looking it up right now. He's an amazing director.
While you're looking this up, I hope I don't offend you with this, but I kind of hope I do at the same time. So it was weird. Eventually what happened with the Harry Potter series is as I started getting spoilers outside of when the movies came out, I became less and less interested because then every time I look at all of the Harry Potter movies, it's just the same title to me, which is Harry Potter and the Magic Illuminati. That's just
okay.
Every one of those films is that.
I get that.
And not to say that there isn't a story development. Like, I'm a big fan of the whole Batman Quarter Owls thing. That's a fucking brilliant story. And I'm a big fan of the Metal Gear Solid series. So Illuminati fiction is just great, especially if you present it right. I'm not going to say that it's bad, but after you kind of realize what it is, just kind of getting, you know, having to spend the time to dedicate to watching all the movies or reading all the books when you know what the general premise is, it can be exhausting.
Well, I will say this. The movies have that general premise. The books, there's more to it than that. Far more to it than that.
Okay, well, that's good. That's cool. That's normally what happens with most book series, right? Especially book series that start as book series. Like, there's so much shit to Stephen King stuff and all that. And again, the problem with the books is I start doing things like when I'm reading a page full of words, if there's a sentence where two words, like the word of the first word of the line and the last word of the line glue themselves together, I will read the same line over and over again until I realize that I'm really reading the same line over and over again. It's a mental issue. I cannot.
It's actually a diagnosable issue.
I know
it's, but anyway,
I've never been able to fully diagnose. I know that I've been diagnosed with ADHD. I think it is a symptom of it.
It also may be a form of dyslexia because dyslexia is not just what we think it is, that people read things like backwards or whatever.
That would make sense.
It is a difficulty with keeping letters and numbers, anything in sequence, in its proper sequence.
Dude, like another thing I've started realizing that I do is when I'm looking at an alphabetical list, if I'm scrolling through a list, I won't like intentionally do it. Like if I'm reading a list vertically, like from A to Z and A is at the top and Z is at the bottom, I will write the list and I will read the list vertically up and down. But if it is a scrolling list that scrolls left to right, I will scroll to the left. So I will look at a list in reverse alphabetical order. For some reason, it's more comfortable. But I'll read the words, like the words read left to right. I know and interpret and understand all of the information. It's just for some reason, I have this innate just drive to look at a list, you know, backwards, scrolling backwards. And I don't know why, but I always do it. I think it may be, you know what it might be, is it could be sometimes, a lot of the time what I'm doing, especially with this kind of data, with like the audio data that I'm working with in these is I'm looking at dates backwards constantly. right? I look at the most recent thing that happened, and then I look farther back if I need to search.
Which makes sense, considering that's what you do a lot of your work with.
Yeah.
It would influence the way that you handle other things. By the way, update on the director's name, Alfonso.
Yes.
Alfonso Cuarón. And he's also directed, well, he directed Children of Men. He also directed Gravity, the Sandra Bullock movie Gravity.
I haven't seen either one of them, and I will have to make some time to see them because I would love to see them.
This is a guy that loves to do long single take shots, and he's very beautiful. Yeah, he's very beautiful with the camera, and The Prisoner of Azkaban is the best of the Harry Potter movies because of how cinematic it is. There's a point where they use a device called a time turner to move themselves back in time, which, by the way, those are all destroyed at one point or another, and you can only go so far back with them, like hours at a time, not, you know, days and weeks and months and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they are of the universe, they are of the belief in time travel that you've already done the time travel. It's already a part of what's happening in the present.
They answer the paradox. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's kind of the way that they work it.
It's a continued infinite time loop when you do it. Oh, so rather than creating multiple time splits, they're doing an infinite time loop.
Yeah. It's already happened.
Oh my God.
But they do use that in this. They use the time turner in this. They go back a couple of hours. And what's funny is what's beautiful about the way they shoot this is when they do that scene, they go back in time to two characters, Harry and Hermione, go back in time. And as they're leaving Hogwarts Castle to go towards Hagrid's hut, which is where the next kind of where they have to go for the events to unplay, they're at Hagrid's hut, then in the dark forest and down by the lake, then back into the castle. This is the journey they do on their little time journey. As they're leaving Hogwarts Castle, the camera shot following them goes through the mechanism of the clock that's on the front of the which they've established this clock a couple of times throughout the movie. It goes through all the gears and stuff and out the face of the clock to follow them. When they come back into the castle, it goes the reverse way through the face of the clock, and it's this giant, you know, clock on the Whoa. Side of the building, so it's huge. It goes through all the gears and stuff back to follow them as they're going through. So it's like they're going through a journey through a different, you know, time thing. The camera takes you through that. It's so wonderfully shot the way that it's done to give you, when your shots in your film echo the entire feeling of what you're trying to do in the film. If you haven't seen Children of Men, there are two scenes in specific. There is a car chase scene that is shot from a single camera inside of a car. It is a single shot, but they did some trickery in the car to make the single shot happen. It is a single shot that happens within that car. It's like a 4-minute long shot, and it's freaking amazing what they did for a rig for that. And then there's another shot where they're in like a war-torn area, and they go run around multiple blocks of stuff. Also a single shot.
Wow.
So all the action that you see in that shot, they had to set up, run the action, and get everything right. And it's like a 7 or 8 minute shot. It is completely amazingly brilliant the way that that's done. And the movie itself, Children of Men, is just an amazing movie to begin with. But there are a few camera shots in that movie where it's just like he is making you feel by the camera angle and the way this is shooting, the emotion he wants you to feel, not just you're subconsciously feeling this emotion and not realizing it because of the way that he's framed the shot. He's a fantastic filmmaker. And is the only Harry Potter movie he did was Prisoner of Azkaban, but you can see his talent for moving the camera, setting up shots, really evoking emotion from people. But I digress from the fact that we're talking about, in general, Harry Potter now being, so again, since it's so much a part of the millennial experience to have Harry Potter, it is now, I would say, the true focus film series, the true focus media of the Halloween and into Christmas, season. Harry Potter is fall and winter. As much as football is, as much as for a short time, Nightmare Before Christmas was. This is what we have to look forward to in the for me, again, it's just, it's normal stuff to watch Harry Potter. I have other people that are talking about, I get to watch Harry Potter now. It's like, you don't do that on a regular basis. I mean, we watch it all the damn time. I'm constantly watching Harry Potter movies. I will say, if you are inclined to read the books, go ahead and read the books. If not, sit back and enjoy the movies. I would say to you, Mike, it's worth watching the movies because there are some good performances in there. I mean, you have Gary Oldman for a couple of movies playing a character. Gary That's Oldman, right. Fantastic actor. Alan Rickman is amazing, and especially when you get into the later movies, see all of the history of the character Snape that he plays. Alan, knowing that at the first movie, he was the only one that knew the truth about the character that would be revealed in the last movie. He was the only one that knew the truth.
Wow.
Joe Rowling took him aside and told him the story arc of his character and said, you can't tell anybody else this. I'm telling you, so you know how to play him properly. He kept that secret for years.
Wow.
In the movies, and for waiting for the books to come out to find out who that character really was and the true secret of that character. You have people like Jim Broadbent, who plays a character in the last couple of movies. I mean, when you can pull Jim Broadbent into anything, that's amazing. Fantastic actor. You know who that is, right?
No, not off the top of my head. I've heard the name, but I can't think of...
You've seen him in a few things. I'll give you a primer later. Okay. Everybody else, look up Jim Broadbent and go watch his movies. He's good playing a good guy. He's good playing a bad guy. He's good playing... maybe he's a good guy, but he's more of the questionable guy. He's fantastic in everything he does, like many British actors.
Oh, okay.
The other people that they get to act in, hell, I can't even think of his name now. Gleason, Irish actor. He's fantastic in the movies. A plethora of great actors, basically all that Britain has for great actors that are, that populate these movies. It's fantastic. It's worth going to watch them. And it's the season to do so, sir. This is the time. This is Harry Potter season now.
Interesting.
And
I
think it's something that we need to, I think it's something that society has accepted. And I've noticed it's the trend. And I can tell you right now, I think we're on, the fifth movie right now. So, in this current rewatch of them. So I will be, after football today, I'll probably be watching some more Harry Potter. Cause you know,
well, now you can do it anytime. And I mean, I can understand the appeal of Harry Potter becoming a Halloween franchise movie, especially including Christmas. Now you could watch them between October and December. You could take it at your own pace if you want to, because streaming services now, exactly. That's awesome. Second, it's not like you could take Friday the 13th and sit the kids down and watch that.
And that's the other thing. This is the Harry Potter movies are the great thing. If you got the kids together for Halloween, again, Thanksgiving, Christmas, these are great movies to be able to watch because the whole family can enjoy. They're not too kiddie for just the kids, and most of them are not too grown up that kids can't watch them.
Yeah,
The last one gets a little bit dark, but it's expected to be that way. I have
knowledge that the books grow along with the age of the characters and the age of the people that were reading them.
Yes, and I believe you heard that one from me.
Yes.
I don't know if Joe became a better writer and that's what happened, or if she planned it to be that way all along. I don't know what the reasoning behind it is. Of course, there's always the conspiracy theory that she's not the one who actually wrote them. It was written by a group and a team, and she's just the public face of it. But that's a whole William Shakespeare thing. Did Shakespeare write his stuff, or did somebody else write it?
Oh, wow.
Shakespeare just take credit for it. And we're not going to delve into that one because I don't want Joe coming after me with her legal machine. I can say I'm a fan of the books. But anyway, Mike.
James is conceding at this point.
I am conceding that. Mike, where could Joe possibly hear me say I'm a fan of books and everybody else be listening to us?
Well, you could be listening. I tried, damn it. I'm so great. Like, I've had like no sleep. Good God. God. Okay. You could be listening to us on our website, thezennialchronicles.com or zencron.com if you don't want to type that much out in the URL. You could also be listening to us in most podcast platforms. I personally listen to us on Google Podcast. I don't know, James, if you listen to us on a particular podcast platform, but there's other ones as well. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're kind of all over the place, which is great. Also, you could be listening to us on our YouTube channel as well. Our podcasts are uploaded in a video type format. It's not us on camera. We're working on that. But it is at least playable as a YouTube video. That's basically our audio podcast converted. If you have not gone there and checked us out, go search The Zennial Chronicles. Subscribe to that page, please. Also, make sure that you like the video because it feeds the algorithm and tells them to, you know, it tells YouTube to send us off to other people that listen to podcasts that are like this. So please do that. That helps get us promoted.
And get it also can get us advertisement at some
point. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If we get, you know, that's why we need the subs, man. We need to get big enough so that we can actually get so we can get, you know, like ad revenue and stuff. That'd be dope. Yeah. We'd love to monetize the channel. We're not making any money on this, but we'd like to.
We're not.
We're
spending money on this more than anything.
Yeah, right.
And you asked earlier. I actually do. If I listen to the podcast, I do listen to it on YouTube.
Nice.
I am on my own personal YouTube. I have liked our videos. I've subscribed to our videos.
Wonderful.
I like every one of them, but I've subscribed to them. And here's something really cool. I know when we have new videos come out.
Why is that?
Because I did something special on the YouTube page.
Really? Wait. There's something else that you could do that allows you to know when we put one up?
Yeah.
A video up?
Yeah.
Really?
It'll on whatever device you're using, like on your phone, if you got YouTube on your phone, which most people do, your tablet, whatever, it'll actually give you a notification. It'll let you know that a new video come out.
Wait, there's a way to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, how do you do that?
Ideas?
Yeah, yeah. What is that?
Click the bell.
That is right. Click the bell to make sure that you get notified the next time we put a video on YouTube out, or our podcast comes out as a video, or sometimes we can't put out a podcast, but we'll put out a video explaining why we can't put out a podcast. You'll be able to see that. Make sure you get that notification as well. That is how you do that.
And just so you know, in case you do see all the videos, because pretty one.
Say that again. I gotta run that. You cut out.
You just want me to say that again, don't you?
No, I swear to God, you cut out.
Mike is the one usually on the videos because he's the pretty one.
I didn't even hear what you said, which is hilarious.
Now you see why I thought you were wanting me to repeat it, right? Say I'm the pretty one again, James.
I ain't that kind of vain. I'm some kind of vain, but not necessarily that kind.
Yeah, you probably think the song's about you, don't you? Anyway.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, I was going to say, you lobbed that one up for me.
Yeah. That was full spike, sir. Well,
while you're there checking out our page, again, check out Mike's page with his wife, Chronozode Games. If the algorithm doesn't stop their videos from showing, like those, subscribe to those. That's Mike and his wife playing video games poorly, at least on Mike's part of it. And
my wife is way better than me at playing these games. We actually got into it the most recent episode. It's hilarious.
That's just
about how much better she is at me or at games than I am.
Is it just games, though? Anyway,
let's be real. Mike, that's a whole other conversation.
Mike also has another channel that he does, Ruling Note Music. This is him talking about his love for music, for musical equipment, recording stuff, all of that.
Cool stories. Cool stories. Rock and roll stories, man.
Very cool stories. So please check all of those out together. Like, subscribe, click the bell on all those so you get notified. And hopefully you leave this wanting to go watch some Harry Potter movies, prepping to watch The Crow the day before Halloween, getting ready for your after you've watched the Harry Potter movies, watch the final Harry Potter movie, Die Hard, and hey, sneak some football in there too if you get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Quick shout out at the end to the pizza guy. Hopefully he listens to this. And Pizza Guy, I will have a question for you about who my favorite Harry Potter character is when I see you again.
Oh. All
right, so you better be ready, Pizza Guy.
There's going to be a quiz next time.
You said that you would listen, so I'm checking with you, all right? That'll be the question. Who's my favorite Harry Potter character? All right, thank you much for listening, everybody. You Pizza Guy. We'll talk to you later.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.